We have a lot to be grateful for in spite of all that's going on in our country. And I want us to turn our attention to the one that we give all the thanks to, and that's our Lord and Savior. If you have a Bible handy, wherever you may be, turn in the Gospel of Matthew to chapter number 8. Matthew chapter 8 is where the message is coming from this morning. And I want to begin reading in verse 1, and what a picture it is of our sick and needy world. The world has always been needy, and we've always had problems to deal with. And the passage today that the Lord is leading us to is a description of the needs that are vast in this world. And the focus, of course, is on the one who can solve the problems and meet the needs. We've been in a series here at Liberty Baptist for the last couple months thinking about Christ in his life and his ministry, some of the names that we find, some of the roles that we find in the Bible that describes him and the fullness of his person, his life, his ministry. And so we come today to consider this very timely matter of Christ being the great physician. That is our topic today, Christ, the great physician. We're reading scripture now from Matthew chapter 8, beginning verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. We've read through verse number 17 of Matthew chapter 8, and we invite everyone to pray with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the privilege of worship today. And under these unusual circumstances, though we can't be together with our church family, and we realize that many churches are apart from the fellowship today because of the situation, we still gather in one accord. And as Roger reminded us, we are in one spirit and we gather for one purpose. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have in this modern day through the means of communication that we can gather online and have this worship service in that way. Thank you for making this possible, Lord. Most of all, we thank you for this day of worship that you've set aside, that we can offer our praise to you and our thanks and just recognize you for who you are and what you do. Thank you for being the God of heaven and earth. Thank you for being the one and only God. And Lord, you alone are worthy of our worship, our praise, and all that we can give to you today as every day. Lord, we come to you to thank you for supplying the needs of our country and our world during this very, very difficult time when the virus has spread. Many have been afflicted by it. Some have even died from it. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for your comfort to continue with them, the families involved. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the sick and the needy, those who are in dire straits, those who are recovering, and those who have recovered. We give you praise for your help in time of great need. And Lord, we want to lift up those who are ministering to the sick. Thank you so much for our medical professionals. Thank you, Lord, for all they do for us to stand on the front lines in such times of need. Thank you for their skill. Thank you for their willing hearts to help. We pray your blessings on them, and we pray you will keep them safe. And Lord, that you will provide everything that's needed in the way of supplies, materials, in this time when there seems to be shortages and great needs in that way. We lift it all to you. Know that you will meet those needs. Lord, above all, we thank you for your healing power. And thank you for hope beyond the grave. Thank you that we do not live in fear, but we live by faith and we live in hope, looking forward to a better world and a better day. And Lord, our most urgent prayer today is for those that are not ready to meet you and to be out in eternity, to leave this world. This has been a sobering reminder to all of us that we are all mortal. We're all vulnerable. We know not what a day may bring forth. But Father, we also know from your word that the future and our eternity is not uncertain. We know that there's a possibility of heaven and the also real possibility of hell for those who are lost. And so we pray today for our eternal needs as well as the temporal and the physical needs of life. Pray that you might minister not only in this worship service, but wherever the gospel's being preached today around this world, that you would reach into hearts and tender those hearts, soften those hearts, and prepare them for the truth, that they may realize that Jesus died and he rose again. And the reason he did that was for our eternal salvation. And may all who need a Savior come to him in this moment in time, we do pray. Thank you again for your presence in this service and in all services that are going forth today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We do live in a very needy world, a sick world, and sickness and disease have been a problem in this world ever since the days of Adam and Eve and the fall of man. There's a verse in the book of Job that sums it all up pretty well. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That one verse reminds us that life is brief and life is full of burdens, and there's no way around it. And so I pray that we're all mindful, very, very aware that life is brief and it's uncertain. And we do have burdens. This is a particularly burdensome time. If we're not going through sickness ourselves, we know of many who are going through other kinds of burdens, a loss of income, displacement, and just the uncertainty of these times. And so life on earth has never been ideal except for life in the Garden of Eden before sin entered in. And so we all, at one time or another, have to deal with sickness and suffering and death. And even in our modern times, with all of our medical technology and all the good medicines and treatments, tests, and so forth, we still cannot escape sickness, and ultimately, we cannot escape death. As we go through this pandemic, we appreciate our medical professionals. We've prayed for them, and I urge us all to continue to pray for them because they do what none of us can do. We appreciate their skill. We appreciate their learning. And with all of that, we appreciate their compassion and their willingness to put themselves on the front lines. And so we'll continue to pray for them day by day. Also, our leaders, let's remember to pray for those who are leading and guiding. And we appreciate so much our president and his advisors. We'll continue to lift them that they might have wisdom and direct us as citizens as to what we should be doing. As we think about the verses I've just read and come to God's message for this hour, we should realize that in Bible times there were needs, but they did not have all the modern conveniences and the help that we have access to today. In Bible times, disease was rampant, and many people suffered greatly. We read of several people that were in need in chapter 8, and these are but examples of many people that suffered greatly. Plagues occurred then as now. Only then a plague had to run its course, and in the wake of these plagues, oftentimes many were killed, and many lives were taken out, and many affected. Sometimes even simple infections were fatal. So when Jesus healed as he did, and we read of it throughout the Gospels, the healings that were performed by him, by his amazing power, were truly amazing. The world has never seen anything like this. The power that Jesus had to heal the sick, even to raise the dead. You can imagine that news of this spread far and wide because everywhere he went, he was able to heal those who were very, very ill and in some cases had already passed on. I'd like for us to see three things from the scripture today. Three things I would bring to your attention as God would enable me to do that. The first thing I'd like for us to think about is Christ's tender compassion. As the great physician, he had tender compassion. And we all appreciate doctors who have tenderness and who really care for their patients. Sometimes we refer to it as a good bedside manner. And all things being considered, we appreciate doctors like that and nurses like that who come not only with know-how and not only with medicine, but with a caring heart and a real note of compassion. Well, Jesus was just like that. He cared about the people that he ministered to. Back in chapter 4 of Matthew, we get another glimpse of his healing ministry. It was one of the main parts of his ministry on earth. I'm reading from Matthew 4, verse 23. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So here again we see a picture of Jesus healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease. The Bible speaks of those who were demon-possessed, and sometimes sickness and suffering were associated with demon possession or demon oppression. There were epileptics. The King James Version refers to these people as lunatic. And that word has to do with someone who is moonstruck. It was common belief in ancient times that the moon affected people and so caused them to have seizures. This is describing a condition of epilepsy and how terrible that is. And then those who were crippled and paralyzed, Jesus cured them all regardless of what the problems were. But what was it that caused him to heal the sick and to care for the afflicted and to go here and go there and not turn away those that needed his attention? It was his tender, heartfelt compassion. Jesus came to reveal the heart of God. And God is concerned when we suffer. And God does care for those who are suffering even now with the virus. And we've heard reports how the suffering is great. And those who suffer economically and socially and the fear and the uncertainty of these days, he's concerned. The Bible makes it clear that this is what drove Jesus' ministry. Matthew 14, verse 14 says, Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 20, verse 34, the Bible says, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So behind all of his healing, all of his caring, was this deep-seated compassion. And how wonderful to know that our Lord is ever the same. He cares about you and your loved ones. He cares about our church family and other church families. He cares about our community and our state and our region and the whole world. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Christ's tender compassion. But then I want us to focus now on Christ's healing power. What power it was. The world has never seen anything like his healing power. And though we do give thanks to God for medicines and modern technology, and all of that is God-given as well, we focus on Christ's direct ability to heal the sick, aside from any medicines, aside from anything like that. If we comb through the scriptures, we find several characteristics of Christ's healing power. And I'd like to bring these out before we think about these specific instances in Matthew chapter 8. Let me just mention these briefly. One thing is, he healed with a word or a touch. We see that in Matthew chapter 8. Secondly, he healed instantly. There were no stages, no steps of improvement. When Christ healed, it was done. And he healed completely. No therapy or rehab was needed. And then in the fourth place, he was able to heal anyone. No case was too hard. Nothing was beyond his reach, beyond his ability. And then another thing we notice is that he healed what we might call organic diseases. That is, not things that were invisible, like someone with a headache, though we don't make light of that. Nothing like just a back pain, though we're not making light of that. The things that Christ healed, the things we have recorded, were things that were evident and visible and obvious. He healed people with crippled legs, withered hands, blind eyes, people who were paralyzed, even people who were dead. He could raise them back to life. He healed in public as well as private. His physical presence was not always needed. And all of this together, we just stand amazed and say, what a Savior, what a great physician. We note three instances of his healing power here in the passage before us in Matthew chapter 8. And we'll just make a few observations about these healings. If you have your Bible, and I hope you keep it open and follow along with us. In Matthew 8 verses 1 through 4, we notice that Christ healed a leper. Now, when the Bible refers to leprosy, it refers to a wide range of ailments in the area of skin disease, but there was more to it than just the surface of the skin. There was an underlying problem. And so the leprosy that is spoken of in the Bible was often a death sentence. It was a terminal disease. It is thought to be contagious. And there were no doubts about Jesus' power to heal when he healed those that were afflicted by leprosy. You notice this particular leper had heard about Jesus' ability, and he says to Jesus in verse 2, if you will, you can make me clean. In other words, you can heal me if you choose to, if you wish to. He knew that Jesus had the ability. The only question was, did he have the desire to do so? And friends, when we understand that God and Jesus, his son, have power, the ability to heal, and the desire to heal, that doesn't mean everyone gets healed. But if ever healing is to come, it will be because God has the power to do it and the will to do it. And so I would encourage us all to grab hold of those two truths during these times, that God is able and God is willing. We don't know his timing. We don't know his perfect will. But he said, if you will, you can make me clean. What a statement of faith. And then Jesus said in response, I will. Be thou clean. It was his will to heal this man, and he did so instantly. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. But then something interesting in verse 4, Jesus said unto this healed leper, see thou tell no man. Now, why was that? Well, Jesus had a plan, and he had a purpose, and his main purpose was not just to have healing type services, or to go around just healing people. In fact, that was only a part of his ministry, as we'll see here shortly. He did not want just to have a following for those that needed healing, though that's part of what he did. But he had a greater purpose for this man, and so he says, don't tell any man, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, what he's referring to is a passage in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 14. When a leper was healed, they would have to have the healing confirmed by the priest. So then, having been confirmed as being healed, they could then fit back in with society and be a part of day-to-day living and not be separated. We understand that kind of language, don't we? Separated or quarantined from the rest of the people. And what Jesus had in mind was, tell the religious authorities, because when they know that you have been healed, then they'll know that I have come, the Messiah, because this was not happening. Lepers were not being healed. And this should have gotten the attention of the religious leaders to know that the Messiah, the Son of God, was in their midst and was giving evidence of his power to heal in this way. Then he healed a paralyzed servant in verses 5 down through verse 13. And this is an interesting account where a Roman centurion, a centurion was an officer who had charge of 100 men. And thus the word centurion, we get our word century from that same root, came to him urging him, saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy." He was paralyzed, and in some way he was suffering greatly. The Bible describes it as being grievously tormented. Jesus says to him, with no uncertainty, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." Because this Roman centurion understood that the Jews would not go into the home of a Gentile and thereby be forbidden to worship and to go into sacred places. They would be ceremonially defiled. And so he understood that. And out of concern for Jesus, the Jewish rabbi who had this great power, he says, "I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving you would come under my roof. But just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And then he says this. It's one of the great statements of faith in the Bible. He says, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me." This is verse 9. "And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Remember, he has 100 men at his beck and call. He has people under him, and he is under others. And he understands the chain of command and this matter of authority. And this is the important thing. He understands Christ's authority, doesn't he? He knows that Jesus has ultimate authority, all authority. And so all you need to do, Master, is just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Well, Jesus marveled at this faith. And he uses it as an example of great faith. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." There are two times when Jesus refers to someone's faith in a specific manner. On this occasion, he refers to this man's great faith. And another occasion, we read in the Bible where Jesus marveled because they had no faith. Both things are remarkable in the eyes of Jesus. Great faith and those who lack any faith at all. But what was it about this man's faith that was so remarkable? It was that he understood Christ had authority, and it was no harder for him to heal at a distance than it was to heal in person. It wasn't any certain method. He didn't have to be there to touch the man, the servant. He could merely speak the word and it would be accomplished. So what faith? And then I just want to note this because it is in the scripture and it's something important because it's there for us to read. And that is in verse 11. Jesus uses this as a teachable moment. He says, "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now what he's referring to here, kind of as an aside to this healing encounter, is that those who were Jews thought they were sure to be in on the kingdom in the final days. That is, when things on earth wrapped up and God's kingdom came to fulfillment, they, because they were of Jewish descent, they thought, "Well, we're good with God, and we are right with God, and we're certain that we'll be there." But of course, they thought differently about the Gentiles. But Jesus says, no, it's just the opposite. In the coming kingdom, there will be those from far and near, as he says, from the east and the west. He's referring to Gentiles, those who were not his chosen people, but they would become a part of that forever kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, because of their faith, just like this centurion's faith and others who thought they were so self-righteous and so right with God, they would be left out. What a picture that is of eternal torment outside the kingdom of heaven. Weeping, gnashing of teeth, outer darkness. So he's pointing here to ultimate reality, isn't he? Heaven and hell. But then Jesus says to the centurion, "Go your way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. As we pointed out, immediate healing, complete healing. Then there's a third encounter, and this is in Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law was sick of a fever. And Jesus, we're told, touched her hand. The fever left her. And then note this in verse 15. She arose and ministered unto them. Which is a good reminder to all of us. Whenever God heals us, be it of something as minor as a cold, or maybe worse, bronchitis, or maybe worse, the flu, or maybe worse, pneumonia, or maybe worse, the coronavirus, or something that is life-threatening. Whenever the Lord heals us, we should be just like Peter's mother-in-law with her newfound strength and her healing. You know what she did? She got up and began to serve others. And should we not use our God-given health and strength to do just that, to serve others? Maybe this is a good time for us all to consider that if we have health, if we have strength, let's not never take that for granted. Let's use our strength to serve others in the name of God and in the name of Christ. Then this passage goes on to say, in verse 16, when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. And so Christ healed different people at different times, different places, in different ways. It's worth noting here in this story that Christ healed the leper in response to his own faith. He healed the paralyzed servant in response to the centurion's faith rather than the paralyzed man's faith. We don't know anything about that man except that he was paralyzed and he needed healing. And then apparently when Jesus healed this mother-in-law of Peter, there's no mention of faith at all. And so what is the point? The point is that though Jesus is honored by our faith and he desires that we trust him, he is in no way limited by our faith. Sometimes we're led to believe by misguided preaching and teaching that if you only have enough faith, you can be healed. If you only have a certain kind of faith, you can be healed. And somehow if you don't get healing, that's because you don't have enough faith or you don't have the right kind of faith. Can I tell you something? We may not have the right kind of faith, but Jesus has the right kind of power. We may not have any faith, but he still has the power to heal, and it's his prerogative and his will who gets healed and who does not. It's in his hands. His amazing power, his healing power. Let's never forget that he is the one. So Christ's tender compassion, Christ's healing power. But now there's a third thing I want you to see, and that is this, and it's the most important part of the message, and that is Christ's deeper concern. His deeper concern. Like a good doctor, Jesus was concerned not only about the sickness, whatever it may be, or the need, he was concerned about the source of the problem, wasn't he? And like a good doctor, Jesus probed and he brought the real problem to light. He always did that. And like a good doctor, Jesus provided the most needed cure, the right cure. Though he healed the sick, Jesus understood that all sickness and all disease can ultimately be traced back to man's root problem, and that is the sin problem. The reason this world has to deal with sickness and disease and the coronavirus and things that we've dealt with through human history can be traced back to the entrance of sin in this world. Now, that's not to say that every time somebody gets sick, it's because they have sinned and you can trace the dots like, well, they're sick because they've sinned. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that the problem of sickness and disease and death can be traced back to its ultimate source, and that is to the sinfulness of mankind. Can I put it to us like this today? From the scripture, the Bible says that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. You see, Jesus was a heart specialist. He knew the problem of all mankind, no matter what the physical problem might be, was a deeper problem, a heart problem. As it speaks of in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That phrase, desperately wicked, means incurably wicked. Talking about the inner person. And all of us are afflicted that way. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So as the great physician, Jesus was concerned at a deeper level. He had a deep concern for the well-being of people then and now. Here's two things he did, and we'll round this message out. One thing I want you to know is that he also, in addition to healing the sick, he preached and he taught the truth to meet the deeper need of those he tried to help. Back in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, we see there, and I read this just a moment ago, chapter 4 and verse 23, where it speaks of Christ's ministry. And there were three main aspects of his earthly ministry. Here they are. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Do you hear that? Teaching, preaching, and healing. Jesus didn't just have a healing ministry. We're grateful for his healing ministry. But he also had the all-important ministry of teaching the people and preaching to the people. And what did he teach? And what did he preach? We know from the scripture what the essence and the content of his messages were. And that is to tell people that they had sinned. To tell people that they had to repent. To tell people that their main concern was eternity. To tell people that they should fear God, the one who has power to cast them into hell. Those words came from the loving lips of our Savior. He warned people about hell. He told them about heaven. He told them about forgiveness. He told them about his coming death and his resurrection. All of that was a part of his teaching ministry because he knew that all people are going to eventually die. And he knew that they needed more than just his immediate healing ministry to them. Just think of this. If all Jesus had done was heal people and not teach them and preach to them, you know what would have happened? They would have been healed at that moment in time, but eventually they would have died from something. Jesus knew that all people would eventually die, even those that he healed. Even those that he raised from the dead, even those he brought back to life, even they would die again like Lazarus. So he knew they needed more. And he preached and he taught the truth, but he did something far more than that. As a great physician, he did this to cure the problem, the ultimate problem of man. He not only preached and taught the truth, but he died and he rose again. Back in our text in Matthew 8, we notice a link in verse 17, the last part of our text. that it might be fulfilled, the Bible says, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And here the scripture ties the healing ministry of Jesus back to the prophecy of Isaiah found in chapter 53, which if we go back, and I'd like to go back just a moment to read a portion of that monumental chapter, because what that chapter deals with is not primarily bodily healing or the healing of physical problems, physical ailments. What this is talking about is the healing of the deeper problem, and that is the sin problem. Here's what it says, Isaiah 53 and verse 4. It says, Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, what it's talking about there is what Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. How that when he died for man's greatest problem, his dire problem, and that is the sin problem. Upon him, our sins were laid. The penalty, the punishment, the suffering of our sin all fell upon him as the sin bearer. And with that were in part our sicknesses. Now, the question sometimes is raised, is healing provided in the atonement? That is, in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, is healing automatically included or provided in that? And the answer is yes, but we qualify that answer. That doesn't guarantee that everyone will get healed in this lifetime. That doesn't guarantee that everyone will be healed permanently, that is, in this lifetime, and never have to suffer again. Of course, it doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that in Christ, and through his death on Calvary, the ultimate problem of sin and death has been atoned for. And so everyone who believes in him and trusts in him and his atonement that he made on Calvary will eventually and permanently be healed from all sickness and all disease, because in heaven there will be no more of that. So it was through his death that healing was provided. It's just not limited to this life. It's beyond this life. It's through the cross. Ultimate healing and permanent healing. You see, death is our real enemy and our constant problem. And Christ, the great physician, he's the only cure. When he died on Calvary, he died so that we might have life and permanent and eternal healing. That's what I'm trying to say. I'd like to close this message with a personal example. Years ago, this probably goes back over 10 years, 10, 12 years, something like that. I've been very blessed and have not had to deal with a whole lot of sickness. And that's one of the times in my life that far back that I was probably about as sick as I ever recall being. I had what they determined was walking pneumonia, and for the life of me, I've never understood that term, because I sure didn't feel like doing much walking. But I was able to go to the urgent care. And in the urgent care, they took me back to the examination room, and I remember it well because I thought about it during this pandemic, the outbreak and the suffering that we're hearing about. And to that degree, I could identify with some degree of that when I suffered. And I remember thinking as I was there on that little examination table, kind of a chair/table, thinking as I was kind of stretched out over that reclining and just about like a dish rag, I remember thinking this: I don't care what that doctor does to me. I just hope he helps me. And I would just simply describe my attitude as one of desperation. I really felt that bad. And you know, I got to thinking about that. And I thought, that's exactly the attitude the Bible describes that we must have if we're to find salvation in Christ. It is an attitude of desperation. It is an attitude of total helplessness. It is an attitude to say, Jesus, if you don't heal me of my sin problem, I don't know what I can do. I have a heart problem. There's something desperately wrong inside of me. And it's something that only you can fix. Please, Lord, fix me. Please, Lord, forgive me. Please, heal me. Now, the Bible speaks of it in terms like this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Describes it to a T. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Spiritually, that's all of us, ungodly. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And that verse describes us to a T, yet without strength. You may not feel physically weak today, but apart from Jesus Christ, you're spiritually weak. You're spiritually dead. You're unable to help yourself, but Jesus is the one who will help you. And I pray that you'll look to him in this time if you've never looked before. If we've learned anything in this pandemic, we've learned that life is uncertain. We've learned that mortality is the lot of all people. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And oh, that we could all feel our total desperation and our need of Christ, the great physician, as the one who can heal our sin-sick hearts. Look to him in faith. Trust him. Ask him to help you. If you'll do that from your heart, he'll do it. We have the promise of his word. Let's have a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you that you've reminded us from this portion of Scripture today of your power to heal the sick. We know that that is your right, your power, and your privilege. We thank you, Lord, that you have unquestioned power to heal all who are sick. We know this comes in your own good timing and your own good will, whatever your purpose and plan may be. But Lord, we thank you also for pointing us to the greater need that we all have. Our heart condition and the need for forgiveness and salvation. And how Jesus came to give himself to die on the cross that we might have our greatest need met, that we might have everlasting life. And Lord, you call upon us to sense our need. You call upon us to repent of sin. You call upon us to put our trust in the only one who can help, to provide forgiveness and cleansing and eternal life that will never end. And Lord, help us to realize that today. I pray you'd bless everyone who may hear this message today, and bless the gospel wherever it's being preached. May it go forth in power to accomplish your perfect will in many, many lives today. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your saving power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Josh, if you'll come, Josh Bowman's going to come with a few announcements and closing prayer. Thank you.
Amen. Christ is a great physician. What an awesome thing to focus our minds and hearts on this morning. There's an old saying, you can't see the sun through the clouds. That should never be true of us as Christians. We're to always be able to focus on the sun, no matter what clouds are in front of us. We do have a few announcements and prayer requests we want you to be made aware of. We as a church will continue to obey the guidelines of President Trump and our local governments by not meeting for worship. And this will be through the end of March. We will have another online worship service next Sunday, March 29th, at the same time at 11 o'clock. Also, all of our Sunday school classes, Awana, and all other groups will be canceled until further notice. We do ask that you please be mindful of others and those in our church family that may have needs, especially our elderly and our shut-ins. Give them a call, minister to them in any way possible. We also ask that you continue to pray for our nation and our world during this time of need. Pray for our president and pray for all of his advisors and his team that he's put together to help deal with this pandemic. And those that are on the front lines of the battlefield here in the hospitals, please pray for them. We've had some loved ones in our church family that have lost family members. So we ask that you pray for the family of Leonard Wilson, the family of Mary Bird, and the family of Kim Nunley. If you do have any questions or concerns, needs, prayer requests, you can contact the church office at 423-764-5673 or at libertycares at bts.tv. And we do thank you for joining us for worship here today. And with that, we'll have a closing word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for being the God that you are, for being the sovereign God, for being a merciful God, for being a loving God, Lord, for being a just God, Lord, for being an omniscient God. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for those that have been able to be with us here today by tuning in on our live stream. We thank you for the message that we've heard about your Son who you sent to this earth to be that great physician, Father, that physician that can heal our physical needs, that physician who can heal our eternal needs. And Father, I pray that you'll be with each and every family that's affected through this pandemic. That you'll be with each and every family that are spending time at home instead of out in the community. Father, I pray that we as Christians can humble ourselves. I pray that we will seek your face. And Father, I pray that we will pray. We will seek you. Father, be with us now. As we go out, go our separate ways. I pray that as we enter into our mission field, wherever that may be, I pray that we would always speak your truth. Lord, it's in your precious and risen Son's name that I pray. Amen.